I'm here today to talk about the Access to Care program at Harlem United Community AIDS Center. I have no relationships to disclose. In this session, we're going to identify barriers to linking and retaining patients in care, list essential elements in a patient navigation system to increase access to and retention in care, and understand the importance of care coordination for both HIV-positive and high-risk negative individuals. So this is some imagery from Harlem, a couple of our different sites in Harlem, and advocacy. So the agency was first founded in 1988 at the height of the AIDS epidemic. It was specifically to serve people living with HIV who were homeless and suffering from mental illness or other substance use, and is the agency of last resort for medically underserved communities of color in Harlem. Harlem United is a one-stop medical shop for these populations, a multi-service CBO providing healthcare, housing, and prevention services for people with HIV or at high risk for HIV. We have 10 different facilities across Harlem, 5 housing, 2 primary care clinics, and ADHCs, adult day health centers, as well as our prevention, testing, and our Black Men's Initiative program. And we're soon opening a third primary care clinic in 2013. And we served 12,000 people approximately in 2011. So this is a picture of our organizational structure, just to give you a little bit more context to where the Access to Care program fits in with our services. We're in 3 different divisions. Community Health Services, which is where Access to Care is housed, our HIV, AIDS, Housing and Supportive Services unit, which contains our adult day health centers, food and nutrition programs, supportive housing, health homes, and family support. And then, as you can see in the center, is our medical and dental services, as well as behavioral health. So Access to Care serves as an important bridge between these 3 divisions to ensure that our positive and high-risk negative clients receive consistent access and support for their health care needs. So this is just a little bit about the program development of Access to Care. It was inspired by the National HIV-AIDS Strategy to reduce new HIV infections, increase access to care, and improve health outcomes for people living with HIV, reduce HIV-related health disparities, and achieve a more coordinated national response to the HIV epidemic. So with that in mind, the Access to Care program model includes ensuring access to and retention in medical care for our clients, providing supportive services needed to achieve optimal health outcomes, and facilitating reentry into care and supportive services for clients who have dropped out of care for whatever reason. So initially, this is a little bit of the history of the program. Harlem United has a long history providing patient navigation or linkage to care services. In 2007, those services were initiated when our testing team identified a need because newly diagnosed HIV-positive clients, you know, were not coming into care. So initially, it was just one person that they called the Linkage to Care Ninja who would follow up with clients and help them come for their confirmatory result and their first appointment into our clinic. And so that was so successful that in 2010, I think we had around 4 people who were providing these ninja services, and we conducted a study to determine, you know, which factors would predict retention and care for our clients, and these linkage to care services were one of the strongest factors. So we actively sought out more funding to increase the services that we offer for patient navigation and case management, and one of those programs was our Healthcare for the Homeless program. And so in 2011, you know, we had these linkage to care services for our HIV-positive clients, and then we also had our Healthcare for the Homeless, which was a similar model, but for homeless clients who were not necessarily positive. So our funding for these programs was over 6 different contracts, and we decided to integrate all these services because they were very similar to try to increase the efficacy of the program. So that happened in 2011, so that's when the official program that we now refer to as ATC was founded. So these are the different services that are offered in access to care. So we have case management services, patient navigation, supportive services, including entitlements, different support groups, treatment adherence, and mental health, and then outreach and engagement activities. This is a snapshot of our client characteristics. They're predominantly male, 75% male, 24% female, less than 1% transgender, 95% black or Hispanic, mostly between the ages of 35 to 54 years, and between 65 and 75% are homeless or unstably housed, coming from the healthcare for the homeless program being integrated into our linkage to care services. And 40% are HIV positive, with 15 to 20% having an AIDS diagnosis. So the goals of the ATC program are to locate and engage individuals out of care into care and supportive services to ensure access and retention in medical care and supportive services for those clients, to provide support services needed to achieve optimal health outcomes, and to navigate through initial medical care and connection to comprehensive case management. So this is an overview of the organizational structure, all the people involved in making those services happen for our clients. There are 24 positions in total, with 3 coordinators, 6 case managers, and 6 patient navigators, along with 5 supportive services staff. You can see a program enroller, 2 different housing specialists, treatment adherence specialist, and an outreach specialist, along with a licensed clinical social worker who provides both direct services to clients and supervision for the case managers and patient navigators and their clinical services that they deliver. Our target population is, like I said, HIV positive and high risk negative, homeless or unstably housed individuals, people who are high utilizers of emergency rooms and detox facilities, and undocumented immigrants. And they're mostly in Harlem and the South Bronx, but we do have clients who come from all 5 boroughs. This is a breakdown of our program flow for all of the different services that we provide. So for patient navigation, it goes through client identification, client searching using multiple different databases, including ECW, which is our EMR for our clinics, HASA, and AIRS. And then re-engagement of clients, conducting home visits, follow-up calls, outreach to providers, letters to clients, and then service orientation once the client is located and starts to begin their reconnection to care process. For supportive case management, they go through screening, intake and assessment, service planning, service plan updates, and then case closure. So this is meant to be a low threshold, very short-term service that will kind of get patients from being out of care into care where they can be connected to more comprehensive case management. We also offer psychological assessments through our licensed clinical social worker, and they provide 3 to 5 sessions with our clients just to facilitate their re-engagement in care process and identify and address any barriers there. And then entitlements, they go through the screening application and application submission process, just based on what they're eligible for with their HIV status. And then this is a brief overview of the supportive services that we offer in the program. It includes housing assistance, treatment adherence education, and supportive counseling and risk reduction planning. In 2011, we did another outcome study of those enrolled in the Access to Care program. It was with homeless clients because those are typically the most difficult to engage and keep in care. And we found that of those who were enrolled in our clinic and a comparison between those in the clinic who were enrolled in ATC versus not enrolled in ATC, there was greater retention in care, and those in ATC services were also more likely to be on ART. And as would be expected, more ATC clients also had a repressed viral load compared to non-ATC clients. So now, in order to really effectively engage our clients in care into our clinics, I think the most important part is coordination between ATC and our primary care services. So this occurs via team meetings and daily rounds, electronic reports generated from our EMR, daily communication between outreach and office managers, provider protocols, emails with daily reminders of appointment availability, patient navigation escorts, case management, and provider coordination. So each case manager and patient navigator is associated with a particular provider in our clinic, and communication via our electronic medical record, or ECW. So there are two primary ways that we use data from ECW to coordinate with the access to care providers. The first is the monthly extraction of a no-show list, so clients who routinely, you know, schedule appointments and then, you know, don't show up for them. So that is extracted monthly by a data manager from ECW and then submitted to the ATC team. And then they review that list and coordinate re-engagement activities with clients. So that means patient navigators, you know, calling or doing home visits to get that client reconnected to care. So then the second way is a tickler system, a little bit of a funny name. But what this system does is for clients who are sort of repeat offenders, you know, known clients who routinely do not show up for their appointments, when they are scheduled for a follow-up visit, the MOA, or the medical office assistant, will go in and write a note for a specific patient navigator under that patient's profile that says, you know, this client is due for a follow-up appointment, and we know that they're probably not going to show up, so this is a cue for the patient navigator to start to try to reach out to that client so that they can ensure that they make it for that follow-up appointment. So we have just open hours where the patient navigator can go to the client's home or go find them on the street via mobile engagement and bring them into the clinic. So this is really useful for patients with chronic conditions who need a lot of support, but who also do not show up to their appointments routinely. So the challenges involved in this program, as you would imagine, are many when you're dealing with marginalized populations, including homeless clients or drug users, and just trying to integrate a bunch of different programs with six different contracts. You wind up with multiple points of entry. This is kind of a constant problem with Harlem United because we provide so many different, you know, healthcare prevention and housing services. So it's great that we have this one-stop shop model, but it also causes a lot of problems in, you know, coordination and data entry and paperwork because it means that there are lots of contracts that go with all those services. So as I said, ATC is funded by six different contracts. So that means multiple databases. It means, you know, different contract and funder requirements and different, you know, paperwork that all needs to be kind of merged together into one comprehensive program. And so also having multiple different points of entry and 10 different sites all around Harlem that can cause problems in communication. The ATC team staff themselves are located in three different locations, four if you count mobile units and mobile activities. So our best practices and lessons learned through this process include, you know, the success of employing a harm reduction, client-centered approach. This has really helped to increase our linkage to care rates for positive clients and our retention and care for chronic clients with chronic conditions. And that low-threshold services are very successful with this population. So, you know, short-term, just addressing their needs using a motivational interviewing approach, and that collaboration is a key for internal programs, both for referrals into linkage to care and to getting supportive services for clients once they're in the access to care program. And that ongoing staff training and development is necessary, as you know, there are constant changes occurring with our funding streams, so we need to have a very adaptive team in order to execute these services appropriately. And then, you know, we're always looking for ways to minimize our duplication of paperwork and work that's required by our frontline staff. And this is the contact info. I'm taking the place of the managing director of the program. So if you have any burning questions about our access to care model, Stephen Crow is the best person to contact. Thank you.